Imagine turning 75, and instead of facing the twilight years, you're offered a second chance at youth. With one catch, you can never return home again. This is the reality John Perry faces on his 75th birthday after visiting his wife's grave. Like many elderly Earth citizens, he's heard whispers about the Colonial Defense Force's tantalizing offer, renewed youth in exchange for military service protecting humanity's interstellar colonies. The CDF specifically recruits the elderly, valuing their accumulated wisdom and life experience over youthful vigor. Their monopoly on skip drive technology enables faster than light travel and allows them to dictate terms to Earth while keeping their most advanced capabilities secret. For Perry and his fellow recruits, who dub themselves the Old Farts, the journey begins at Nairobi's Space Elevator, a towering marvel stretching from Earth to orbit, their first step toward an unimaginable transformation. We're not making you young again. We're making you again, but better. These words from Dr. Russell reveal the shocking truth about the CDF's rejuvenation process. Instead of merely reversing aging, recruits undergo consciousness transfer into entirely new, genetically engineered bodies. These enhanced forms feature bright green chlorophyll-infused skin for supplementary energy, superhuman strength, heightened senses, and integrated BrainPal computers that interface directly with thoughts. In a deeply personal moment, Perry transfers his wedding ring from his original body to his new one, a symbolic bridge between his past life and uncertain future. The universe is a fucked up place, Master Sergeant Antonio Ruiz tells the recruits bluntly, showing horrific footage of soldiers killed by aliens. Training deliberately shatters their human psychological limitations. They're pushed to run 25 kilometers through rough terrain, sprint 100 meters in 7 seconds, jump 10-meter gaps between buildings, and remain underwater for 6 minutes with weighted sandbags. For Perry, appointed platoon leader, the underwater exercise triggers childhood drowning trauma. His friend Alan helps him through it, teaching him to trust his enhanced body rather than old fears. This marks Perry's psychological breakthrough, accepting he's something more than human. Between drills, they learn about their enemies, from 40-meter beings that polymerize water to small desert dwellers using biological attacks that liquefy human tissue. The sobering reality? 75% of recruits will die within 10 years. The recruits discover their new capabilities, extraordinary strength, rapid healing, and minimal sleep requirements. Yet they also learn a harsh truth. Their bodies are deliberately sterile, engineered purely as combat platforms. This underscores the CDF's pragmatic approach. They aren't vessels for humanity's continuity, but weapons in an interstellar war. Perry's first battle against the technologically advanced Khonsu shatters any romantic notions of space combat. Instead of elegant starship duels, he finds himself in a chaotic nightmare of plasma fire and screaming soldiers. The Khonsu wield weapons that slice through CDF armor like paper. Perry watches helplessly as his squadmate Watson is killed by an energy weapon that unravels his molecular structure. The old farts begin falling one by one in increasingly horrific ways. Maggie sacrifices herself by piloting her damaged ship into a Khonsu carrier. Thomas meets a grotesque end when a seemingly harmless alien spore dissolves his internal organs. Susan perishes defending a colonial settlement, her last words a quiet, "Sorry, Perry," over the comm system. Each loss carves another piece from Perry's soul. The moral complexity weighs heavily on him, especially during the battle at Kova Banda against inch-tall humanoids. Perry experiences profound dissonance as he literally stomps through their miniature cities, watching microscopic soldiers scatter in terror. "I don't feel human anymore," he confesses to Alan, disturbed by how easily he's adapted to what feels like genocide. The war culminates in a catastrophic assault on Coral, a verdant world occupied by the Rei, aliens who view other sentient beings as food. What should have been a standard operation becomes a devastating trap when the CDF fleet emerges into a prepared kill zone. Ships explode by the hundreds. After Perry's shuttle crashes, he's rescued by Special Forces soldiers, including a warrior who stuns him. She's identical to his deceased wife, Kathy. This is Jane Sagan, an elite Ghost Brigades member created using Kathy Perry's DNA and partial consciousness patterns. She shares physical attributes and fragmentary memories with John's wife, but possesses her own distinct identity. Their relationship develops through conversations where Jane exhibits an almost anthropological curiosity about Kathy's life. The novel explores fundamental questions of identity. What makes us who we are when our physical form changes? Through Perry's transformation from elderly man to green-skinned super soldier, and Jane's complex existence as both continuation and new being, we confront whether identity transcends the physical. The story suggests it does. Perry remains essentially himself despite his transformation, carrying his memories, values, and capacity for connection into his new existence. By genetically engineering soldiers who are technically no longer human, the CDF blurs the line between person and weapon. These modifications are irreversible, effectively creating a permanent warrior class that can never return to normal society. The BrainPal technology raises serious questions about autonomy and privacy. While enhancing capabilities, it allows for constant surveillance and potential psychological manipulation. The Ghost Brigades represent an even more troubling frontier, creating conscious beings using the DNA and partial consciousness of the dead without their explicit consent. Jane's struggle with her partial memories of Kathy's life becomes a poignant exploration of personhood. Is she truly her own person, or merely an echo of someone else's existence? The CDF's relationship with Earth reveals systemic ethical violations on a broader scale. By maintaining a monopoly on skip drive technology and preventing any return to Earth, they've created a one-way pipeline of soldiers while keeping Earth technologically stagnant. This arrangement raises questions about colonialism, power dynamics, and the moral cost of military superiority. This story explores how people find purpose in second chances. Having lived full lives on Earth, recruits must redefine themselves in new bodies and roles. Some fail by clinging to old identities, while others, like Perry, embrace their new capabilities while maintaining core values. The CDF recruits the elderly specifically because their lifetime of experiences provides perspective younger soldiers lack. Wisdom that helps in diplomatic situations and processing loss maturely. By the story's end, Perry anticipates another transformation, retiring with Jane to learn how to be human again. This third life represents the possibility of love beyond military service. His relationship with Jane shows how emotional bonds persist across radical physical changes. In a universe of conflict and loss, adaptation doesn't mean abandoning humanity. It means carrying it forward into each new incarnation. Perry leaves his wife's grave without regret because what made Kathy herself wasn't in that hole in the ground. This observation speaks to our understanding of consciousness and relationships. In an age of advancing medical technology and discussions about consciousness transfer, the story reminds us that who we are matters more than what we are.